unless they were so far out of line to start with, just high hopes. But my daughter lives in Saxe in a pretty modest neighborhood, and her next door neighbors put their house up for sale, had a one day showing. I don't know how many people came. Then they had a bidding war that day. It's like, put in your best offer, and they, you know, so boom, yeah. Sold. And another friend in my district over here in Channel Heights had the same thing, put this house up for sale. Her realtor said, I'm only gonna show it for one day. So she took appointments all day, showed people through, told them all, you need to leave your best offer and have a pre-approval ready, or have it be a cash deal. Boom, 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 had this big stack, went through, picked the top two, you know, the best one, a standby, and I think a second standby. Anyway, wow. There it is.
All right, are we ready to record? All right. Hello and welcome to the June 21st, 2022 Summer Solstice edition of the Development Services Committee. We have myself, Dylan Hedrick, Councilman Bass and Council Lady Morris, as well as some other city staff members. First item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes of the April 18th, 2022 meeting.
Motion.
I have a motion by Councilman Bass, second by Council Lady Morris. All in favor? Aye. The minutes are approved. The only item we have for consideration on our agenda today is horizontal multifamily standards. Mr. Guerin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Mm-hmm. So this is picking up where we left off on kind of the horizontal multifamily, or in some places it's called single family rental, but talking about the same thing really, where it's kind of the way we've seen it is it's essentially multifamily because it's all on one, it's multiple units on one platted lot, but again, it's just a matter of the development being more horizontal versus, you know, having two, three, four stories of larger buildings. So more of a single family style. So I did look at a few other cities, primarily in this region. Denton was one city that was brought up last time. And so interesting, just kind of back up a little bit, didn't have much luck finding cities around here who all have already amended their development code to sort of allow this by right. However, some cities are moving in that direction, so we're not the only ones. In fact, Denton, to start with Denton, they, like Garland and most other cities in this region, currently only allow this horizontal multifamily type of development through a PD because it just, there's always going to be something. It just doesn't quite cleanly fit single family standards or multifamily standards. So the PD route is what most cities are going with, including Denton. But what's interesting is they are strongly considering tweaking their development code, and they're trying to keep it as simple as possible by tweaking the definition of multifamily, of a multifamily dwelling, which in their code is five or more units under one roof. So they would amend that to five or more units on one lot. The GDC has a similar definition. It's three or more units in one building for dwelling, comma, multifamily, as the definition is. Sure, thanks. Thanks, Jed.
Thanks, Jed. It was noisy over there.
A lot of traffic in the hallway. And then she noted, this is my colleague over Development Services over there, noted that other multifamily site design standards apply, which is interesting because some things have come up, like here we'll have minimum building separation, the GDC of 20 feet. That was one deviation that Park House Provident recently needed. But anyway, that's kind of how they're approaching that, is kind of changing the definition of multifamily. Salina, they have some language I'll share here on the next slide for horizontal multifamily. That's actually what they call it, MF0 for horizontal multifamily. They have some standards, but these were used previously in a plan development. It may have been in one, more than one PD, but at least one PD, and then they are moving in the direction of kind of moving some of this language into their development code. I was able to speak with a senior planner at the city of Salina, and they said actually in October they plan to amend the development code to add this use. And so I'll pull up the standards here, and some of this is kind of more, obviously this is taken straight from a PD, so some of it is very specific to that site, so not all of this may cleanly transfer, but I just wanted to share it. Some of the stuff, you know, is kind of already contemplated in the GDC, or we have very similar requirements already. There's a lot of prescriptive information here too, but just kind of starting or kind of going through a few bullets, but on the top, and I believe it's the next city we'll look at, has the same density requirement of 12 units per acre. That shouldn't be hard to meet for this type of development. The Provident Park House one you all approved a few meetings back was about 7 units per acre, and that was a good 242 units. Maximum building height they've got of 36 stories, or excuse me, 36 feet or 2 stories. That may be one thing we can discuss if we want to identify standards for this. Single family residential districts have a maximum height of 35 feet in the GDC, while multifamily and single family attached, which is townhouses, have a maximum of 40 feet. So 35, 40 feet. I think if we went with 35 in most cases, that would not be an issue for these. It's more just a matter of any of them happen to have more pitched roofs or articulation for more of a townhouse style. Of course, they have some screening requirements here. Again, a lot of this is kind of site specific, and there's already some similar requirements in the GDC. They've got a roof pitch of 512, so they kind of go with more of a single family standard there. The GDC is 612 as a base standard for single family. Covered parking they've got here. Interestingly, they do have a distance between residential structures face-to-face shall be a minimum of 10 feet. We do have in multifamily, there's a building separation minimum of 20 feet. Again, that was one of the deviations that Park House needed to kind of accommodate a more single-family style layout, having buildings a little bit closer together. The GDC has a similar regulation here. They have a repetition, kind of avoiding a repetition of building elevations. We have almost the exact same regulation in the GDC currently. Again, amenity requirements. They still have a masonry requirement. Interestingly, we kind of moved that out after the state law. They chose to stick with it, I guess, or put it into the PD. But certainly I can come back to this, but thought these were interesting standards that are out there. And then Princeton also, they call it single family rental. And theirs is a little bit simpler, not quite as many prescriptive regulations. But this is also, as I understand it from my contact who shared this with me, these are not in their development code, but rather were used in a PD. But some interesting standards nonetheless. They do have a maximum of unit types that no, number of units per building that no building may contain more than 4 units. So that may kind of restrict the density and not allow too much of a row or cluster of units, kind of keeps that in check a little bit. Maximum of 12 units per acre, similar to Salina's density requirement they have in some of their PDs, has a 225 unit maximum. Again, that may have been specific to a site for a plan development. They have a 30-foot height restriction, of course, 2 stories as well. Let's see, SFR, I think that was kind of more specific to the PD, but they have a similar detailed plan process, and that the site plan, as they call it, requires approval through P&Z and Council, similar to our PDs in Garland. Let's see, screening, they just noted no screening shall be required between SFR and SF2. I think that was specific to this site where this was pulled from the PD. And then they have a maintenance requirement that HOA shall be maintain the property. So that's, I'll kind of stop there. And, you know, as a reminder with the Park House development, what was interesting is there really were only, they kind of started with the base zoning district of multifamily and then just kind of deviated from there based on this more single family style. And they really only ended up needing 2 deviations from the code. And one of them really wasn't necessarily related to the style of development. It was just the size of the clubhouse. They preferred a smaller clubhouse. But the other one, as I mentioned earlier, was building separation. They needed a 10 foot versus 20 foot, but interestingly, pretty much everything else they met, but a couple of things that I've kind of noted here for perhaps discussion, that if we do want to be, just to be real clear, I know the purpose of this is to be real clear if we allow this type of land use and exactly what the standards are, multifamily or single family versus having to kind of make it up on the fly through every PD. So building height, I mentioned earlier, could be something the committee could discuss. 35 feet, which is the single family standard, versus 40 feet, which is multifamily and townhouses. Let's see, I've noted building separation, but also building design. Does it follow that? That's kind of probably been our biggest, at least from the planning staff, is, you know, does this, do we apply more single family standards or multifamily standards? You're starting with a base multifamily, but of course the style of development really resembles more of a kind of single family type unit. So I believe with the Park House, interestingly, they actually met the requirements for both. I think we started with multifamily and then kind of tried to see what they could meet for single family, and they ended up kind of meeting that. But perhaps some clarification there. And I have a note here, unit, do you apply it per unit or per building? I believe the planner said it was administered per building, just to kind of contemplate this understanding that there's going to be attached units. These aren't all single family detached necessarily. But those are a few specific standards that might be good to clarify if there is, if we create this land use, and just so it's clarified in the code. But beyond that, Mr. Chairman, I'll open it up for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Guerin. Is there any questions for him?
I mean, Will, can you go back to the Denton slide, please?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Oh, the one where it had listed, maybe it wasn't Denton, maybe it was Salina, but it was the list of their rules, I guess, like, you know, that one right there.
Okay, yeah, this is just Salina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Salina, okay. Mm-hmm. So just looking at that one that really is, for some reason, sticking out to me, I don't understand why it would be on there at all, where it says, no gates crossing fire lanes are allowed.
Mm. Yeah, I guess that was probably something their fire department required to be put into the PD.
Because I've been to one of these in McKinney, and they've got a, you know, they've got an access gate getting into it, just like
right.
The community. So
that's been our experience in Garland. Typically, there'll be kind of a Knox box or something like that that the fire department can work through if there is a, really for any multifamily development, if it's gated. So that may have just been a local preference.
Okay. As far as reading through all of the regulations on these, that's the only one that really stuck out.
Sure.
Why it's even there. That's. I don't have any questions really. I'm just ready for discussion. Chairman?
You don't have the Park House PD that could be thrown up on the screen real quick, what the final decisions were that we made with that?
I don't have it handy. Was there any particular?
No, I just for apples to apples and what we have actually ourselves thumbsed up here. So I'll just say, I think the 12 units an acre density seems reasonable to me. Mm-hmm. I think the 35 feet two-story seems reasonable, and it seems to be pretty standard and pretty consistent with things that we've done in the past. As far as design standards, whether we're talking single family or multifamily, I mean, obviously we'd rather them manage to hit the mark in both cases. But for these single family rental horizontal developments, because they look more like single family homes, I would personally probably lean toward, if we're gonna lean in a direction, I would rather lean toward them hitting single family design standards, because that's what they look like. But that's up for discussion.
And that's helpful, thank you. And also, I'll kind of point back to, if the unit type, the language that Princeton, I believe it is, has in here, no building may contain more than four units. I recall Park House had a kind of a maximum cluster of nine units kind of in a pod, but they weren't necessarily all attached. If I remember right, I believe it was three or four was the maximum attached.
Three, so they made a mm-hmm. square right, around a central area.
Yep.
That could be a standard worth discussing as well, if the committee is interested in.
Yeah. I think some of these items here, especially Salina, I've worked with Salina before, and they are very particular about how they like to see their developments occur. And you could see that with this PD. They regulate mandatory masonry in all PDs. But some things I don't think we should regulate. I notice on there's like roof slope and that sort of thing where you get into the architectural design. I don't want to mess with that at all. This unit type, Will, you mentioned about apply per unit or per building. I think we should apply per building because these are, if you might get these pods together, and if you're requiring articulation, we don't want it per unit necessarily. It's all one structure. I'm fine with 35-foot height to match our single family. The density of 12 per units per acre is fine. The question to the committee is about carport and car parking spaces, because that gets into the whether it is an apartment multifamily type use or a single family use. The Park House had garages for some of their units that were accessible to the unit itself, and others were separate from the unit, and you had to access, you'd park it and walk around to your unit. And I don't know if they had carports. I don't recall.
I don't think they had carports.
But if that's a question whether we want to make that a requirement for this type of use. Mm. It's always a big issue with multifamily development. Screening, I know one was about the fencing between units. They typically like to have their own private yard space. I see that, at least Park House did. I don't know if we necessarily need to regulate that or not, but that's one thing that all these seem to have in common, is you have a fenced in private yard space with a common green space walking path between them. The parking regulation, 1.5 per unit, I think that's fine. A lot of these are, well, we might want to take a look at that, if whether it's 2-bedroom or 1-bedroom units typically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could go back and look at Park House. Our multifamily standards do the parking requirement depends on whether it's 1-bedroom or 2-plus bedrooms, so we could, and it's a similar ratio. It's, I think it's really either 1.5 or 2, depending on whether it's a 1 or 2-plus bedroom. So,
and then finally, the space between buildings themselves, I'm fine with the 10 feet. You would get two buildings together that would have a walk path between. I don't think we need to necessarily go to 20 feet if we were trying to make these clusters and let them laid out. So 10 foot minimum there is fine with me.
I
don't know if there's any other guidelines that
those were put in, or kind of the main ones. I think from what I can tell, and having Park House gone through the process, it probably makes sense to keep the amenity requirements, multifamily amenity requirements applicable, the general screening requirements, things like that. Those didn't seem to be an issue during the review process. So,
With the amenities, the clubhouse size and required amenities, because these are individual units, but they function as a multifamily almost, where they have a community center that is used by all the residents in there. So I'd still like to have that amenity in there.
And probably maybe some clarification on, I think, thought, and based on kind of how Salina and Princeton refer to them as MF0 or SFR, it seems to insinuate that they're creating a zoning district. Of course, we've been running through the process, the MF1, MF2. So it'd be a simple or kind of consistent amendment to that if we're creating a zoning district, but just want to clarify that it'd be a zoning district kind of more specific to this, or kind of a sub district really of MF, versus allowing this by right in the general multifamily district. The former, having a district specific to this, or sub district if you will, would kind of restrict it more, so it's more predictable on where this would be. Someone would actually have to zone into this. And then potentially, if they meet everything by right, they don't need a PD necessarily. They could potentially rezone to MF0.
I'm fine with making it a multifamily sub-district, as we did with our garden-style district and our more urban-style district. Have this seems to be in the same vein there. Just we're going horizontal instead of vertical now.
So do we need to try to nail down the parking ratio now? Do we need to?
Yeah, what's that?
Well, let me
remind us of our parking ratios for multifamily.
Absolutely. I'll
pull it up just to make sure I've got it right.
I believe it goes per, does it go per bedroom or is it per unit?
Yes. Well, units, how many bedrooms
are per? Bedrooms, it's, yeah, bedrooms correct. Per unit, yeah.
So efficiency apartments are just one space is required there. But for a standard one bedroom, it's 1.5 spaces. And then for any units that's two or more bedrooms is two spaces.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with using that same ratio in this. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have a two-bedroom unit, you'd likely have two. If you had roommates, each would have a car, I assume. That.
Yep.
Okay. What about carports? I
mean, well, we're so on just on the discussion, I think actually we all seem to be on the same page. Is I'd like it to follow a single family as much as possible, since that is what they resemble. I've got to put my glasses on to read my own writing. Yeah, and I like the per building, not per unit. Mm-hmm. The carports, I've got that right here. So, I mean, that's something I'd honestly like to, as a side note, that's something I have in my notes I haven't brought up yet that I'd like for probably this committee to discuss anyway, carports. I don't see the point of them.
If you're going for a more single-family look, a carport is not
that
way to go.
Especially with this, yeah.
A lot of these do have, at least the park house did have garages that were...
Well, and that's something else that got me thinking also. Do we want to have a garage, any kind of garage requirement on these to give it more of a single-family look? Because they are, I mean, they basically are, right? It's a single-family rental, so... Single family homes, I mean, unless they're in Deborah's neighborhood, have garages.
You see, this does have a standard up here for it, but it's very minimal. It's 10% minimum garage, and that's Salina's standard. But
what do you guys think about that?
It's hard to see new construction of homes these days without garages, mm-hmm. if you're single family. And while carports can be useful for a lot of things, as in keeping the Texas sun and hail off of cars, since we're in Texas, when we're talking single family, which this is, I don't see putting a carport requirement here. Yep. And if they want to provide them, and if they feel like in an area, but they wouldn't be like at each house. I don't think anybody would buy that.
Or yeah, no. That. So. Yeah. I don't like the carport requirement, but I would be open to a garage requirement of like one per unit or whatever, you know.
One enclosed garage, and enclosed parking is what they call it here.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, maybe they have a parking garage or something like that, or yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
And I know at least with the project in my district, that's a granted, where with the single family unit, they each have a garage. Yep. So. Mm-hmm.
And do we want to say keep our ratios, but minimal one enclosed parking?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do they call it? Yeah. Car enclosed parking space per unit.
Yeah. And as you were saying, Dylan, all the things that are overly restrictive up there, roof pitch and that kind of stuff, we don't need to get into any of that, I don't think.
That's architectural, and I'd like to let them come up with the best architectural design on that.
Yeah, we just want this nice and simple to show people, hey, we're open to this, we want you here. You know, and we understand that it's more of a single-family residential than a multifamily apartment.
You're here. You want to speak to Urbana?
Will, do you think we're missing anything that in your notes that you haven't found in the other cities, or any questions that maybe they hadn't addressed yet that you had for them?
I don't believe so. I think we've hit on a lot of the notes. I might need a little more clarification on building design. I'm hearing that roof pitch, under the GDC, the general requirement, the GDC for a single family is 612 as a basis. So, and I know there's a comment about kind of steer more towards single family versus multifamily. So do we want to kind of break some of that out? And is the roof pitch, yeah, that's just part of the kind of standard single family home. 612 is kind of the base there.
Well, on a smaller scale, I mean, is that, you know, what does that look like when it's a smaller scale? You know, I mean,
sure.
Roof pitch is going to be different on a 5,000 square foot house yeah. to a 1,200 square foot house. I don't know. And I'm just telling you, honestly, I don't know. I mean, I know that it would look different, right?
Right.
So I don't know what those numbers would be, and I'm not an architect.
Well, and there's also some things, like I've got some townhomes that are hopefully going to go in, mm-hmm. and very innovative design, and the roofs are largely flat mm-hmm. because they're solar panels.
Yep.
You know, so they don't meet that pitch,
mm-hmm.
but they also are going to give the owners super low, I mean, to our harm, super low power.
Yeah.
So that's another issue. And of course, that can all, we can handle all those things for PDs, but.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But I'd like for us to be as open as possible to begin with, as little restriction as we can. And I don't know what that looks like as far as, you know, what it would look like written out. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we definitely, I mean, this is something new. We want to be open to new ideas. And, I mean, I've seen green buildings where the roofs are inverted, you know.
Oh, my
God. V-shape. Yeah, there's one off of going north on the tollway, just north of George Bush in Plano. It's on the right-hand side.
We want to address the fences requirements or fence allowances. I mean,
does the park house, they have fences on theirs?
They did have some private fences around the units. As far as any perimeter fencing, it just met the general, just kind of ornamental fence with screening, or it may have been a masonry wall, but the GDC has some options there. But they did have some internal ones. They were just considered just allowed. There wasn't really a restriction that would prevent them.
Salina says allowed. Wooden privacy residential?
Within the...
Allowed within the 10-foot landscape.
Which my guess is that's from the perimeter roadway. Mm-hmm. So that's probably more of a perimeter screening requirement.
But also because yard spaces may be divided by 6 foot.
Mm.
Yep.
Yes, so. Yes.
But it's maybe. That's allowed. That mm-hmm. that's just specific allowances, not mm-hmm. a requirement from us.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Do we need to mention that this is for a single lot only and not subdivided lots? Because I wouldn't want these type of developments to be able to be subdivided in the future because you get issues with access and utility easements and all sorts of
mm.
issues.
Yeah, it changes a lot of requirements.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a good point. We can work in some language for that.
We need to include the requirement of a perimeter wall? I mean, with new single family
doesn't have that, does it?
But multifamily requires it to be screened from single family.
Right, just single family.
When you get a difference in zoning, when you're going from multifamily to
the screening requirements,
and we're screening requirement for that.
Right. Yeah, single family only has it for, if it's along a thoroughfare,
right.
There's perimeter screening.
Club,
right.
Centerville, mm-hmm. that whole thing that we've been through over and over again, where where mm-hmm. people driving by on thoroughfares can look right into people's houses.
Right.
So I think that would be a reasonable requirement for this as well, since we're
perimeter.
I think, well, I mean, would, that's what I'm wondering. Would it be reasonable to require the same as the multifamily? Have that wall as a transition between it and a single family? I think so, because it is different. Mm-hmm. It is a different product, so I'd be okay with that too.
Okay. So follow the same kind of perimeter thoroughfare screening standards.
Thoroughfare and then zoning differences.
Zoning differences.
And this multifamily district.
Yep.
To screen between the two.
Correct.
Yep.
I think that covers at least of what I have in mind. I think we should give Mr. Guerin a chance to draft something up and come back to our next meeting. And
yeah, I'd be glad to. And well, I'll kind of look a little more at the single family design standards. There may be some that I think are probably pretty easy to meet, like the architectural. There's kind of a short list of architectural standards, articulation, things like that aren't too difficult to meet. But you know, if we want to kind of talk about roof pitch or pull that out, that'll give me a chance to kind of look at that a little more. Yeah. So,
you need a good acronym. These the Urban Land Urban Land Institute calls these horizontal multifamily detached HMFDs. So,
oh wow.
Let's not leave the acronym up to Will anymore.
Yeah. I didn't do a good job with that
one.
Heaven
only knows what would be next. But.
It might be MF upped.
Yeah, that would be pretty bad.
All right, so do we have any other?
Farron, and see if he has a.
Oh, good idea.
Mr. Farron might have a suggestion for you.
I'll blame him every time.
Something goes wrong. All right, so do we have any other discussion then on this topic, or just wait for next meeting to see what we come, then we can add to, subtract, or edit that version?
I would also like, just because, if you can, well, bring these, what we actually passed with Park House.
Sure.
I'd just like to review.
Okay.
That wasn't one I worked, you know, intimately with in my own district and don't have it clear in my head. I'd just like to look and see what we as a council decided on.
Sure.
In my head, I just know what they look like.
Yeah.
I just remember the pretty pictures, that's all.
Yep.
All right, so if there's no other discussion then on this topic, our next item is adjourned. And until our next meeting, the Development Service Committee is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did that thing have our bad project? At least the architecture.